This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Johnny, what do you say we record everything in the right order this episode? Like, actually do the intro first and not at the end?
Yeah, I got a bit confused last time. And that's not hard to do for me, but I think that it'll be easier if we keep it in order. I like sort of one, then two comes after one, you know, three. It makes more sense to me.
It does. It very much does. And this episode is about kind of doing things in order and in a process that makes sense. So that's actually a good lead into it. So with that said, welcome to episode number 21 of The Showrunner. I am Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM, as well as the host, co-host of The Lead and several other shows. And I am joined today, as always, by my co-host, Johnny Naster, defender of humanity. Johnny, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. Thanks. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm doing excellent as well, and I'm going to be doing even more excellently come Saturday of this week, because that is when I will be beginning my vacation. Heather and I are going down to the Keys in Florida to spend a few days. And obviously that presents some challenges when it comes to shows and their schedules. Because during the time I'll be gone, I have a Monday episode of The Assembly Call that is scheduled. Obviously my daily show, Primality Primer, that's 3 days of episodes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We have the episode of The Showrunner on Wednesday, the episode of The Lead for Tuesday, and an episode of Podcast on the Brink for Wednesday as well. And so, holy crap, that sounds like a lot now that I say it out loud. So what I have been doing for the past week and a half is basically preparing for this vacation, because I don't want to interrupt my schedule. And so pre-recorded episodes for Podcast on the Brink. For Assembly Call, I actually went in and pulled one of our post-game shows out from the archive, because the last time we did it, people really liked it. And so we slapped a new intro on it. And then we have that scheduled. So it'll go out on Monday. For Primality Primer, I'm pre-recording three episodes, all scheduled to go out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Time. So we can't do the live component, but at least the podcast will be there. And I tell you all this because I know that a lot of our listeners, they will ask us, you know, what do I do when I'm going on vacation? How do I kind of keep the schedule going? And I think you have a few different options. I mean, you can just skip it, although I would let people know that you're going to be skipping. You can rebroadcast an old episode, or you can just plan ahead. And if you have the time, or if you want to burn that midnight oil and get those episodes ready to go and schedule them, then you can keep your schedule, which I think is the ultimate show of respect and commitment to your audience. So that's what I've chosen to do. What are your thoughts on that general topic?
My thoughts are, if you're a podcaster, you should never go on vacation. You should never take holidays. You should never take time off, because it's way too much work to do all this stuff yeah. in advance. But yes. No, I'm taking the same. Actually, I'm going Sunday and I'm coming back Wednesday night. My family and I are going to do some island hopping throughout the Vancouver islands, the Gulf Islands, I guess they're called. Here, we're going to drive and just do a bunch of different islands. So I won't be doing podcasts either. So I'm pre-doing them, and it's a lot of work. But mm-hmm.
But it's worth it. I really do think it's worth it. I mean, there's a reason why we do that work, and it's because we don't want there to be an interruption. We don't want people who normally listen to our shows to look for it, miss it, and then go listen to another show. Like, we want to keep that schedule.
So funny thing, this, we say this all the time, right? We've been saying this since what, March now, that you have to keep your schedule. You have to, on this show, that's what we've been saying. You can't miss you when your audience wants you to be there or expects you there, you have to be there or else things happen, right? So I toyed with it. Late May and through June, I missed episodes like randomly throughout just to see. So I do three a week on Hack the Entrepreneur, and I never skipped two a week, but I skipped one a week lots of times, different days. So Monday, like there's different days. Monday's by far the most popular day for downloads for me, no matter really who. Well, now I plan it so that my most popular guest that week is Monday, like that person themselves, because that is the day that I get the most downloads anyways. But I played with the different days. And then July 1st, I stopped doing that completely and I went completely back to a full schedule. And now I'm like 6 weeks into that and the downloads have like skyrocketed because of it. And it's hilarious because it was just one of those things where we were saying it a lot. So I was like, well, I wonder if it's actually totally true. So I toyed with it and it just, I mean, it worked out because I was just moving out to Vancouver. And so there was lots of stuff going on anyway. So I was like, let's just play and see if it actually affects it. And it affected it, didn't affect it negatively as much as I thought it would. So that was kind of surprising. Like the downloads didn't really drop off that much. I mean, they dropped off by a third some weeks because I was had a third less episodes, but that was to be expected for me. But then once I got onto a schedule for 6 weeks of complete consistency and pumping out that content every day I said I would, it's like doubled in size, which is amazing to me. And really does prove the point. So that was just, that was me being a guinea pig for everyone out there, just toying with my audience to see if it actually did what we said it does. And not only does it do that, but it exponentially increases your reach and your, I think just your audience participation and interaction and downloads. It's amazing. It's kind of blown me away this last week and a bit now. So I wanted to share that.
Thank you for being a guinea pig.
This is what I do for you, Jared. And this is what this is what I do.
This is what you do for the showrunners.
This is what I do for the showrunners. Now, if the showrunners asked me to go for a fourth or fifth episode every week, I probably wouldn't do that. But I'm a guinea pig when it means being lazier and like doing less work. I just wanted to clarify that. So don't ask me
How noble of you.
Don't ask me to try going to like 7 days a week and see how much more exponential it gets, because I don't think I have it in me right now. But I need to clarify that.
Well, you know what we do have in us right now?
Do we have a main topic?
We have a main topic. Let's get to that main topic. Okay, so on our last episode, Johnny, you kind of introduced this idea that you had this massive list of ideas for episodes that you wrote down at Podcast Movement. And we culled through that massive list. I mean, there were thousands of ideas. And we searched through it to find the four best ideas. And last week, we did one of those ideas. And this week's episode, we're actually combining two of them. And then in next week's episode, we're going to talk about another one. And they're kind of these big picture, kind of theory ideas that I think are very, very important for podcasters. So would you like to introduce this week's topic? Again, this is one of three ideas. This one morphed from two ideas, from thousands of ideas that we got at Podcast Movement. So this is the cream of the crop, the absolute top shelf ideas. Not to overpromote it or anything.
2,396 ideas I had written down.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And we've now gone through, you're right, and sort of joined a few of the ideas up. We've got it down to one good one for today.
Yes. So do you want to introduce that idea for today? Because I love this idea and I'm looking forward to talking about it. And we just talked about it a little bit during our pre-show conversation. And I thought you gave an excellent description that I'm hoping you can reproduce right now.
Okay.
which is always dicey, which is why last week we just started recording from the beginning. And I just realized we didn't follow our own advice this time and we weren't recording from the beginning. So we can't use that explanation that you gave.
We never follow our own advice. Well, we do maybe, but
most of the
also
time we do.
Don't forget, an episode or two ago, I stated the fact very clearly that I am like, I want to become a walking contradiction of myself.
Exactly.
So just in time learning is the main topic that I want to cover today. And this is, this was actually pulled from Pat Flynn's keynote. This idea was one of the ones I wrote down, and he got it from the guys over at Internet Business Mastery, who are one of the original business podcasting guys, who I got to meet one of them on the bus at Podcast Movement. And it was really, really cool. But the idea being overwhelm. We deal with overwhelm in really sort of terrible ways usually. Overwhelm meaning that we want to start a podcast and there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of just big concepts that we have to get our head around and a lot of tiny little steps that we have to get through from coming up with the idea, determining a format, coming up with a brand around it, starting to record, finding guests if that's what we're doing, and then actually recording, learning how to record, learning how to publish, learning feeds, learning figuring out a WordPress site, and then getting it to iTunes, and then following it through with years of promotion and growth. Those are all massive, daunting things. There's a whole bunch of them. So the idea of just-in-time learning is something that I think will help, has helped me a lot just in business in general. And I think will help a lot of people, even if you already do have a show, because there's so many different things, so many different directions you can go, so many things further ahead of you, 6 months ahead of you, 3 months ahead of you, a year ahead of you that you might not need to know right now. And so it's just-in-time learning. I think this is the thing that allowed Pat Flynn to stop just sort of circling himself and like chasing his own tail, to actually taking action, building a show that's now a massive business. And is that a good introduction for it?
I think it's great. And I think, you know, the most important part of that is taking action, right? Because we see it so often with people that we talk to, saw it with people that we talk to at Podcast Movement, have seen it with people inside the course, this paralysis through analysis. And I think the intentions are noble. You know, people really want to make sure that they go out with, you know, putting the right foot forward and that they really have things planned and well thought out. But you can do too much, right? It's like when we were going to launch the Showrunner podcast, even if we had an inkling of an idea that there were going to be a course around it, we didn't need to learn how to use all of Rainmaker's learning management system tools before we went out with the podcast, right? We could learn that stuff when it was time to build and launch the course. And I think that's so important that there are so many components of this, of podcasting, of what you need to do. And it's important to give yourself a chance to get good at them as you go, rather than inundating yourself with so much information, so many skills and techniques and tips and, you know, gear recommendations and all this stuff. You can just get lost in it to where you forget. You just got to put that next foot forward and actually record and get an episode out there. And I think this idea of just-in-time learning comes in with that, because plus, you know, there are studies that have shown, I can't cite them, but I know that I've read this from reliable sources, that we retain the information better when we actually learn it, when we need it, and then can use it. And then it really becomes knowledge. It's not just information. It becomes knowledge because we've put it into use. And so I think that's another reason why this is so important. And I think it's something that can really benefit podcasters who, especially those who are really struggling just to get going, or who struggle to keep going, is figure out the specific thing you need to learn to take the next step, learn it, then take the next step. Don't just keep learning other stuff. Actually take that next step.
Yeah. So let's clarify that, because we're not telling you that you don't need to learn things. You obviously have to constantly be learning. I mean, if you're working online in any way, it's everything is evolving and moving at a crazy pace. There's new technologies, new platforms, things coming out. But that's totally irrelevant to you right now. So the idea being that if you're just getting started and you're coming up with a name for your podcast, it shouldn't matter to you what myself, as a podcaster who now has a show that's coming up on its first year, has over 100 episodes, it doesn't matter what I'm doing right now for promotion of my episodes, because it's 1 year away from you. That's way too far. So all we tend to do as human beings is we tend to procrastinate by but I don't know how to promote this show once it launches. And it's like, well, that's like possibly 4 months from you right now, or 3 months or 2 months, whatever your timeline is going to be. And so we use that. Well, once I learn that, once I figure out how to work plugins better on a WordPress site, but you don't even have a name or a format for your show yet. So we use it as typically just procrastination. I did the same thing actually with the course itself when we went to create a course. I'd never created a course. And so I was looking at technology around it, even though that had nothing to do with me because it was being put onto Rainmaker in the learning management system. And we have amazing designers that could take care of it. But it was a procrastination thing that I went through. And then it was like, well, what about the launch of it? And it's like, what am I even talking about the launch? I don't even have this mapped out what we're going to teach people yet. And so then it was like, okay. So then I brought it all back and I broke it into like 12 different little steps of how I needed to sort of create a course. And then we talked about that part. And then it was like, okay, so what do other people do now at this very first step? And then just learn from other people. You have to learn from other people's mistakes. You have to learn from other people who've gone before you. It's way easier than just reaching through in the dark by yourself. But don't be learning from people who are already at step six and you're at step one, because all that is really doing is just, it's that form of putting off step one. There's no way to skip the first five steps of creating a podcast. There's no way at all. So you don't need to learn at all. By the end of this, by the time you are a year and 100 episodes into your podcast, you will know as much as I do about podcasting, but you don't need to know everything that I know about podcasting right now. And I guess that's the main concept of just in time. You still have to learn all of the steps, just not right now.
Right. Because what happens is people overcomplicate it, right? And this kind of leads into the second part of this main topic is, if someone who's new is trying to learn everything that you know about podcasting after a year right now, there's going to be stuff they don't even really understand the context for. So they may put the information into their head, but it's not really knowledge that they can use, which is what's important. And that just overcomplicates the entire process. And I don't, this whole idea about, you know, people overcomplicate a podcast, especially podcast course makers. I don't even remember when we said this. I know it was during one of the sessions, and we said this to each other, you know, and kind of chuckled a little bit. Because I think sometimes course makers, as we are, and even people running, you know, shows teaching people about podcasting, we can overcomplicate it sometimes too by trying to transfer everything at once, you know, to everybody. We want people to know everything that we know, but it's important to remember that concept of the just-in-time learning, that you shouldn't know everything that we know. You shouldn't, if you're in your sixth week, you shouldn't know, like you said, everything that someone 18 weeks in knows. What do you need to know to take the next step? Are you creating your artwork? What do you need to know to do that? Move on, gain that information, really internalize it, use it, and then you can move forward and add the next thing. And you kind of build your knowledge brick by brick rather than overcomplicating it by learning it when you're not ready for it. And that's the main idea of this show, is to this episode is to understand this concept of just-in-time learning and put it into practice so that you're not overcomplicating things, so that you're not overwhelming yourself, and so that you always remember that the most important step is the next one, not the next 10. It's just the next one. Taking that step in a positive direction, and then taking another one, gaining whatever information you need at that time, and then taking the next one. And so I think it'll just really help people, again, you know, focus on the content, focus on the audience one step at a time, not overcomplicating things, not overwhelming things, because too many shows stall or never start in the first place because of that.
Well said. I think we wrapped that up just in time.
So you're saying we shouldn't overcomplicate it by continuing to talk about it? But ching, let's go to our listener question. And this week's listener question is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, which is the all-in-one hosted solution to help you facilitate digital business online. So whatever your digital business is, the Rainmaker platform helps you create your content, get all the technology stuff out of the way, remove those headaches, just create your content, connect with your audience, build your membership site, you know, launch your product, get the technology part out of the way. That's what the Rainmaker platform facilitates. I'm using it on all of my sites. Johnny, you use it. And the thing about the Rainmaker platform, if you have a question about whether it's the right platform for you, you don't really have to guess, because you can take a 14-day free trial. Just go to rainmakerplatform.com. You can see what is in the plans. You can take the free trial. You have 14 days. Check it out. And I think you'll find that a lot of time that you spend on updates, on worrying about security, on trying to put the mishmash of plugins together to get you the configuration that you need, that's all taken care of with Rainmaker. And you can, again, don't overcomplicate it. Focus on your content. Focus on your audience. And that's what Rainmaker allows you to do. So this week's listener question, Johnny, we're actually going to take a question from one of the Showrunner huddles that we did inside of the Showrunner podcasting course. Every other week, we get everybody together. We do a huddle. We answer people's questions. And Jeff Reese, one of the course members who runs the show Wake Up Your Why, which I highly recommend people go check out. It's a really good show. He does some terrific interviews on there. But he asked us a question for the huddle, and I thought you gave a great answer to this, and it's something I think a lot of people wonder, and so I wanted to bring that to the show, to this episode of The Showrunner. And so what Jeff asked is, you know, in your response, Johnny, to takeaways from Podcast Movement 15 regarding interviews, you said that you'd be more forthright in stopping an interview if it wasn't going well. And as Jeff said, he hasn't had that happen yet, but maybe he will, and I think a lot of people who do interviews think about this or may face this. So how exactly would you go about doing that if an interview just isn't going well and you feel like you need to stop it? And what would be some indicators of needing to do that? And what might you actually say? Like, how would that go? And maybe we can create an awkward situation and do a little role play, and you can stop the interview that you're doing with me.
Can I stop right now?
Yeah, Jared, this really isn't going well. You're rambling and not getting to the point, and my audience doesn't need this.
So this is, it's always hard to recreate an answer.
But that's the theme of the show, so why would we stop now?
Right, so the ultimate thing was that I will learn to be more forthright and less Canadian, I think was the essence of what we got out of my answer. And this idea came from the guy's name that I can never remember.
Jordan Harbinger.
Jordan Harbinger of Art of Charm. He talked about doing interviews and the idea of making your guest take your platform, your audience, and your show as seriously as you do. And if they don't, and if they fail to do that, then just stopping the interview, which I've talked about before. I get people to sign off on a waiver that says, either because of my lack of being engaged in the conversation or yours as the guest, my audience does expect a certain level of something in the conversation, a certain level of engagement. And if that's not there, then I have the right to not publish your podcast episode without telling you. Something I've been using for a long time, and that kind of already does allow the guest to step up their game a bit. But Jordan takes it to another level, meaning, and he said something really, really, really clever and really smart, that was, your audience who's on the end of your show listening doesn't have a voice. They don't have a voice in this conversation that you are having with your guest, and you have to be your audience's voice. So if the conversation isn't going the way you want it to, isn't getting to answering the questions that your audience is trying to ask through you because you are their voice, then there's no value to your audience and they're going to stop listening. And if they stop listening, they're probably not going to come back. And you have to value the fact that you are their voice, and you have to stand up for your audience more than you have to stand up for this guest. And I understand, because I went through this probably the first 90 episodes. I'm only just now realizing this about my show, and I should have realized it a lot sooner. And I hope to pass it on to you that you should too, is that it's hard at the very beginning. You think that your guest is doing you a huge favor by coming on your show. And yes, in a way they are, but they're doing it selfishly. They're doing it really to get in front of your audience. Even if your audience is 10 people at this point, they want those 10 people to hopefully bring some of them over to their audience and eventually sell them something and make some money off them. That's the whole reason. It's selfish. It's not, they're not there to be friends with you. They're not there to make just to be nice and to generously donate their time to you. They're literally trying to use your platform to attract your audience. And you have to appreciate that. And you have to appreciate the power of your platform, even if it's not what you think is massive yet. We're never going to think our platforms are big enough, no matter what. It's just the way it is. But you do have to appreciate that that's why they're there. And since they're there, and as Jordan says, like, since they're there and they're already spending their time, he just says, he gives basically my disclaimer that I give, they have to sign off on at the beginning. He says that to them right before he hits record. And he's like, he just tells them, this is what's going to happen. If I'm going to expect this from you, this from you, this from you. If I don't get those things, I will stop the interview once. I'll try and remind you to do it again. And if it doesn't work, we'll just stop the interview at any point. I'll delete it. You go your way, I go mine. Totally fine. And he's like, you can actually hear them. He says, like, sit up in their seat straight and like turn off any noises, their phone in the background, and they want to focus, because if they're already going to waste their time, or what there would be a waste of time if it doesn't get published, is that half hour or 45 minutes or an hour with you, they're already dedicating that time to you. They don't want to dedicate that time to you to have it deleted. They want to do it to also have access to your audience. And they will take you seriously, but they'll only take you as seriously as you take yourself. So be willing to be awkward and tell your guests these things, and then to also tell them and remind them halfway through if you need to. And I'm promising to do this from now on. Luckily, I haven't had to do it yet since I've made this declaratory statement, but here we go.
So what if you have a co-host and you've done 21 shows with him, and an episode isn't going well? Same thing?
It's a good question. It's a really good question.
A hypothetical question.
Hypothetical, of course.
Just ask it.
It's a whole different topic. We'll maybe cover this one in the next question.
Yeah, we will. We will. All right, let's do some podcast recommendations. And we're doing podcast recommendations differently now. So come back after this quick musical interlude, and we'll tell you how we're doing podcast recommendations in the near future. And welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that brief musical interlude.
Music's good.
It was good.
That was good.
That was good. That was really good. Okay, so we're going to do podcast recommendations a little bit differently. So for however many straight episodes, both Johnny and I have been recommending a single podcast to you, and hopefully recommending it for a very specific reason. That was our goal when we started the podcast recommendations. Well, at some point, you're probably going to start thinking, wait a minute, Jared's running 5 shows, Johnny's doing a show with 3 episodes a week, they're doing a course. How can they possibly actually listen to this many podcasts to recommend? And you're right. Frankly, we've kind of come to the end of the podcasts that we really listen to and can recommend without just kind of pulling a name out of a hat. And we don't want to do that. We want our recommendations to mean something. Plus, Johnny and I now have the privilege inside of the Showrunner Podcasting course to really be exposed to some great new shows and to some enthusiastic new showrunners who are a lot like you listening right now. You know, people who, you know, maybe you've been running a show for a while, maybe you're thinking about running a show, and these people who are in the course with us were right there where you are, just as a showrunner listener to start. And so we have decided for the foreseeable future to use this spot, this podcast recommendation spot, for some of the people that we hand select from the course to recommend their show to you, to basically give you a pitch for their show for why you should listen to it. And I'm really excited about this, both for the opportunity that it gives the people inside the course to expose their show to new audiences, and for the opportunity that it gives you to find out about really cool, new, interesting shows that may not always be showing up on the front page of iTunes or in the top of the charts, but that are shows that if it's your cup of tea, if it's your type of topic, that you should really give a chance to, because we know these showrunners. We've worked with these people, and we know that they're putting their heart and soul into these shows and producing high quality content. So we're going to start that this week. And the very first recommendation is from Melissa Dinwiddie, who runs the show Live Creative Now. This is a show that has been a fixture in New and Noteworthy, basically ever since Melissa launched her show. I mean, it's doing really, really well. And it has, one thing I love about Melissa's show is it's got great titles, great headlines. Like, one episode is just called I Screwed Up. Another one is called How to Deal with the Fear of Rejection, or you are your own cake. Like, just really avoiding distractions the professional chef's gravy way. Like, just kind of titles that are obtuse almost in a way, but they're intriguing and really make you want to listen. And so that's one element I like of this. But forget what I like about it. Here is what Melissa says about her own show and why you should give Live Creative Now a listen.
My name is Melissa Dinwiddie, and my podcast is Live Creative Now. I am on a mission to empower you to find and feed your creative hungers, because creative expression is not just for professionals. It's one of the fastest routes to happiness and self-fulfillment for all of us. Not only will you feel more alive, but it's how you change the world. But a lot gets in the way. Fear, self-doubt, time, distractions, resistance. Live Creative Now podcast is practical tips and inspiration for how to hurdle past all of that and get on with your creative joy. Live Creative Now. Live Creative Now. Find out more at livecreativenow.com.
And Johnny, I just realized that I hijacked that entire prefacing of the new podcast recommendation.
I was wondering, wow, so she gets a double recommend. Like, basically, you just did the recommendation and then you play her repeating you.
It's, you know, I know, it's a transition. We gotta, I don't know.
We should just go straight to the podcast recommendation, and it's the person should. Introducing their own show, like they record it.
I just get excited. In the future, we will. Okay, in the future, we will. Sorry, my enthusiasm got the best of me.
I thought it was great. That's why I thought I'd let you roll with it. But since you brought it up,
So the call to action for this episode, of course, listen to Melissa's show, but also make sure that you go to Showrunner FM and join the email list. You will get, if you're not on the email list yet, you'll get our content series, The Four Essential Elements of a Remarkable Podcast, which is foundational curriculum for what we talk about here on the Showrunner. So we highly recommend that you do that. And that way we'll also be able to send you updates when we have exciting new Showrunner events like our weekly Wednesday episode and other fun things that come about. And I think that's everything for this episode, Mr. Nastor. It's been a fun one, as always.
It has.
Thank you. Can I level with the audience here real quick for all those who have listened to the end?
Sure. Can you level with me too at the same time?
Yeah, I'm going to level with you too. This has been a difficult episode to do because of some of the audio issues that we were running into earlier that have persisted throughout this episode. And I figure we should let people in on kind of what those are and how we're trying to overcome them. But again, for whatever reason, there's something wrong with the connection to where when you're talking, like as we went through this episode, it got worse and I could hear maybe like half of what you were saying.
I bet you they're out there listening and they're probably wishing they had the same problem. I wish I only heard about half of what John said, because half of it was pretty good. And the other half is kind of like, all right, I get it, John. I get it.
Now, but we should let people know one of the ways that we're overcoming this, because we're doing this on Skype, is both of us are recording locally. So if we were recording the actual Skype version of this interview, I mean, there's no way that we could use it. But the fact that I'm recording directly into GarageBand, you're recording directly into GarageBand, and we can merge these files allows us to do that. And so we've been getting much better quality since we started doing that. So for people who can, and again, this gets really hard when you're doing an interview show and not, you know, with someone who is a podcaster and who you record with regularly. But anytime where it is feasible to record locally, it's really a good idea, and it can help you. You know, we're up against it a little bit since we're both off the week that this episode comes out. We have to, you know, we have to make sure that we had an episode. So we needed to do this recording, and despite your best efforts to fix whatever's going on with your connection, it didn't happen. So, you know, we fought through it and we're able to record locally. So we got through it. But just a tip to folks out there, you know, sometimes it isn't perfect and you have to get your episode done and you got to fight through a little bit of audio nonsense that we've been fighting today. But again, you know, that date's coming up. You got to get a good episode out there. And so, So anyway.
And also, if you are just like at the stage of coming up with a title and a format for your show, completely disregard all of this. And you will deal with this part when you get there.
Ah, that's that just-in-time learning.
That's just-in-time learning.
That's a great way to end this episode. We'll talk to you all next week. That really was brutal.